Revelation 11, verse 3. Behold, I'll give power to two witnesses, prophets, and they shall prophesy 1260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks which stand before the God of the whole earth. And the Bible said they'll close the heavens in the days of their prophecy that it won't rain. Imagine that. Two prophets are yet to come to purge the church and to bring manifestation of God's judgment that people can look at, and God will do it in a way God did it. God did it! When Russia invades Israel in this end time, which is drawing nigh, Ezekiel 38:39, God says, I'm going to do it in a way they can't say that Russia did it all, or the United States, or Israel, or their allies. I'm going to take over, and I'm going to destroy the Russian armies and their allies, and the world can see that the United States army did not deter the aggression of Russia. They're going to have to say, God did it, without any intervention of the Western allies. Ezekiel 38:39. All right? When God purges the church in America, and most of the church of Jesus Christ is in the United States borders as of now. Now in the tribulation, when the two prophets preach, there's going to be a worldwide gathering and moving of the Spirit of God, and people will be saved by the millions. That hasn't come yet. It's going to come as a result of God's judgments. What if they'd preach now? They'd get killed before they got started. But God's going to send two great men, prophesied in Revelation 11, just before the day of his wrath, which is the end. And they're going to prophesy. They're going to close the heavens that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They're going to call fire down on their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, they're going to call fire down and destroy them. They're going to turn the waters of every city that refuses or rejects their message into blood, and people are going to drink blood in every city that rejects the message of these two last great prophets of restoration. Oh, God, send it, Lord. Send it, Lord. Come on, send it. Praise God. All right? Jesus said that the end will come when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world. When's it going to be preached? During the tribulation? Revelation 11? And who's going to preach it? It's sure not this bunch today that he's got out here as missionaries. What all the missionaries want to do today is Americanize the heathen, the foreigner. They don't get it out of me. They've learned all this mess from preachers from America we're dealing with overseas and Bible schools and churches, and they write, and we need a new car, and we need a bicycle, and we need a VCR, and we need a television, and we need this. I said, no, you need get no money out of us for that. You're going to get literature. You're going to get Bibles. That's what you're going to get. Lord have mercy, Americanization. That ruins everybody. It does. You Americanize them, you ruin them. I've been down in countries preaching around South America, Suriname, Guyana, Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados, St. Vincent, and those islands and places like that. And everywhere the Americans have come and made a resort, those black people are ruined. But you go back into the inland, and they're still British-oriented. They're polite. They don't act like savages. And they're not money grabbers. What a difference when you Americanize somebody. Now we Clintonize them. Hillaryize them. New expression out now. Rodham and Gomorrah. God have mercy. Sodom and Gomorrah, Rodom and Gomorrah. It's about what it is. Jesus says that our days of the end time will be like Noah's day. Now let's see if we aren't close to the end. Noah is our example. All right, if you got your Bible, Matthew 24, let's turn to the place where Jesus talks about old brother Noah. Excuse me. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. All this is talking about intemperance. They were eating and drinking excessively, intemperately. Eating and drinking, ain't nothing wrong with that. It's when you insatiable in your desire. You got old gluttonous appetite. Marrying and giving in marriage. That's talking about intemperately. Can't be satisfied just going one wife and husband to another. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man, or the coming of the Son of Man be. Then he gives an illustration here. In that time when he returns, there'll be two in the field, one taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. But he said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Noah's day, very peculiar time in the history of this world. There's very little historical artifacts even to show that that day existed except through the Bible. They have found an artifact on Mount Ararat on the border between Turkey and Russia. And there they, up on this mountain, there's the remnants of a big ship, which they take or deem to be Noah's Ark. And the Russians, half of it's theirs and half of it's Turkey's, and Turkey's won't let you up there, and the Russians won't let you up there. So somebody did get up there and took a look at it and made a kind of quick estimation of what it was, but that's no evidence. That's an artifact that lays there silent and guarded. So there was no body writing history. There was no Gibbons. There was no Arnold Toynbee, as we have writing history, written history of our day. But in the Bible gives us a great historical account of this day of Noah in the 6th chapter, the 7th chapter of Genesis. In that 6th chapter, the 5th verse, God says, the Bible says, God looked upon the earth and saw that every imagination of the thoughts of men were evil. And it repented the Lord that he'd made men upon earth. All they thought about was doing something filthy, low down, immoral. And God says, I'm going to destroy it. In verse 9, he said, God looked upon the earth, and behold, the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted himself upon the earth. In verse 11 says, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Doesn't that tell you what our generation is like? It is getting more violent, more corrupt every day. You can't get enough policemen. You can't have enough of jails. You can't have enough of guns and fences and bars and protection to try to stay alive. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and the hearts of men was only filled with evil continually. Doesn't that tell you something? We're just like it. All right. If we're just like Noah's day morally, then God is going to deal with us very similarly to Noah's day with his catastrophic judgments to punish us. But more than that, God's going to correct a lot of people. Isaiah, the 26th chapter, tells something about this. And in verse 16, he said, verse 9, he said, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Then in the 16th verse, he said, Lord, in trouble, said they'll seek you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. All right, Ezekiel said there'll be a remnant left. God's not going to destroy everybody. There's going to be a great outpouring of God's Spirit, and people under the impact of God's judgments are going to repent. How about that boy or girl of yours, your daughter, your mother, dad, your brother, sister, somebody that you prayed for? How about this nation that's filled with backsliders?